Well, this morning we're going to be in John chapter 17. If you want to get your Bibles, we'll get there in probably 5 minutes or so. Just to give you a couple updates of things that are going on. We do have a missionary at large. We know and love Pastor Jerry, and this picture tells you 1,000 words. And if you can see it, Pastor Jerry is just full of joy, enjoying what he is doing as he is overseas in Cairo, Egypt, training and equipping national pastors and missionaries. So we're really excited for him. Pray for him as he's in Egypt for another week or week and a half, and then he'll fly back across the pond and rejoin us in a couple weeks. So continue to pray for him, and just realize we're serious when we talk about taking the gospel out. We really want to make sure people know and hear the good news of Jesus, whether it's across the street or across the sea. Well, today's 9/11. Where were you 21 years ago? Don't misunderstand. It's hard to believe it's been 21 years. And I was talking to the girls the other day. I don't remember which day it was. I don't remember which one it was. But they said, "You remember where you were on 9/11? Absolutely. When those towers went in and they hit. So we want to pause before we get into John chapter 17. Just want to pray for those that are still dealing with 9/11. Want to pray for those first responders that still go out when the call comes in. We also want to pray for our brave men and women that are fighting overseas, protecting us and keeping us free from those that want to do us harm. So let's go ahead, let's pray and remember 9/11, and then we'll be in John 17. Lord, we're so thankful for the privilege we have to come to you in freedom. Freedom from any oppression that others face in the world, because we live in such a great country, and we're so thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy. So Lord, this morning we pause to remember 9/11. Pray for those families that today is a very difficult day. For family members that got on a plane to go to whatever destination they were going to, and life was completely changed. Pray, Lord, that you might be with those that mourn, for they will receive comfort. Pray, Lord, that you'd minister in a very unique and special way to those that struggle with today. Lord, we also pray for our first responders, our EMTs, our ambulance, our fire, our police officers, and others that respond day in and day out. When the call comes in, they go out and they serve willingly and with much joy to help others that are in need. Pray that you might minister to them, to their families, as they continue to put themselves in harm's way. Lord, we're so thankful for our military men and women that fight overseas to keep us safe so that 9/11 wouldn't happen again. Pray for them, that you keep them safe. Lord, we also pray for their safety. We pray for the families that are left behind here waiting and listening for reports. Pray that you might minister as they are separated as a family. And Lord, that you might minister really uniquely to both soldier and soldier's family. So Lord, put a hedge of protection. Lord, we're so thankful for our country, for the freedoms that we enjoy. And ultimately, we know those freedoms come from you, and we're thankful for the freedom that we have in Jesus. And we're so thankful for how you continue to bless us. And Lord, help us in turn to bless you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. One thing we try to do with each series is we try to put in something to do, an action step. So starting this week and for the weeks to come, you're going to hear about a prayer and fasting night coming on the October 2nd during the small group night. So we talk about prayer. We're really familiar with prayer. We even do prayer. But what about fasting? What's going on with fasting? How is that meant to be? Why do we do that? So we're going to have a prayer and fasting night from 5:30 to 7. And you might not be able to fast for medical reasons. That's okay. You can fast from something else. The Lord sees the posture of your heart more than the posture of your person. But we want to teach 3 weeks on prayer, what prayer is, how we can continue to grow in prayer. And then October 2nd on that morning, we're going to talk about fasting. And we're going to encourage you to fast and then come back on the night from 5:30 to 7. We're going to have a prayer and fasting service and take time to worship through song. We're also going to take time to have guided practice in prayer. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to end that time of our service in fellowship with the Lord, and we will fellowship with one another by eating, because we are Baptist, to the glory of Jesus. And so if you are interested in participating in the prayer and fasting night, you're going to hear more about it from the platform. You're going to see about it in the newsletter and the app. Please make sure you sign up. It's the next step. We want to teach, and then we want to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. So mark your calendar October 2nd for 5:30 to 7, prayer and fasting, 7:05, then we eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? Are you with me? Great, that's going to be awkward. John chapter 17. All right, we're going to start a 3-week series in John 17, looking at verses 1 through 5, and Jesus praying for himself. Verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for the disciples or the apostles. And then the third week, John 17, the rest of the chapter, Jesus prays for the future glory. So we're going to take 3 weeks on prayer in John chapter 17. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, he says, prayer is more than a wish. It is the voice of faith directed to God. And so, friends, what we want to do this morning is we want to remind ourselves and constantly remember that when we pray, we act in faith and we talk to God, because we know that he hears us. We like it when we pray and God answers the prayer the way we prayed it. That helps us to pray more. When we pray and we know God hears us and he says to wait, that kind of sort of discourages us. And sometimes when we pray, we know God hears us and he says no, that sometimes discourages us from praying. But realize and know that prayer is more than a wish. It is the voice of faith directed to God. John 17, you there? Okay, great. I'm looking for some feedback. It really works better if you talk to me when I talk to you. It helps it flow better. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I'm going to take you back to 1996. How many of you remember the early edition TV show on CBS where you get tomorrow's newspaper today? Remember that show? That was right either before or after Touched by an Angel. That was great TV back then. Good stuff. So I watched Early Edition, Touched by an Angel, and VeggieTales, and that's where I got my theology from. Dear Tom, we have concern. Early Edition, if you don't know, this is this guy, and he woke up in Chicago, and he would always get tomorrow's newspaper today. He would read that paper, and then he would take those opportunities to go out, and I will say minister, he went out and helped people. Local person dies in a fire, he would go there, stop the fire, and change the headlines of the paper. One time he looked ahead to the lottery numbers and tried to get the lottery tickets to play the lottery, and then the newspaper stopped coming. So the newspaper was there, delivered by the cat, which I don't know why they have a cat. Why don't you have a dog, a beagle? Just throwing that out there. That's why they didn't ask me. But the cat would deliver the paper and get the newspaper, and then once he started using it for good, the paper came back. So another question for you, how many of you would like to receive tomorrow's newspaper today so you know what's coming? Anybody? Okay, a couple. Okay, good. How many of you, another question, how many of you would actually like to know the day that you die? You know that you're going to die a certain day. Okay, take it one step further. How many of you would like to know the day that you will die and the way that you would die? That's where we find Jesus. John chapter 17, Jesus is hours before his betrayal, his arrest, his flogging, his crucifixion. Friends, Jesus got the newspaper years before because he wrote it. And yet he didn't try to change what needed to happen. He went and he leaned in. He leaned into the articles in the newspaper, if you will, which is God's word, and he finished the task. The first five verses in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for himself, and one commentator said, a prayer for self is not by any means necessarily a selfish prayer. This morning, the first thing we're going to learn as we look at the first five verses is we're going to learn how to pray for ourselves. Many times we pray for others, we pray for the church, we pray for missionaries. Friends, that's wonderful. We should. But Jesus is going to teach us how to pray for ourselves in the first five verses. By now, you should be in John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. Now, Jesus spoke these things. What are these things? Well, that makes us ask about the context. The context is we're reading with 20/20 vision. 20 verses before, 20 verses after. I'm going to go more than that. I want to take you back to John chapter 13. Jesus washes the disciples' feet and he institutes the Lord's Prayer. He also in chapter 13 talks about his betrayal. Chapter 14, he comforts his disciples. He tells them, hey guys, don't worry, it's going to get worse. Because you're going to be persecuted because they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Guess what? They hated me, they're going to hate you. And take Judas out because he hangs himself. The other 11 that are there, 10 out of the 11, they end up dying a death by the hands of someone else. Only one of the apostles died a natural death. And so we see in John chapter 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, I need to go so the Holy Spirit comes. It'd be better for the Holy Spirit to be here than for me to be here. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Stay plugged in and rooted with me. John chapter 16, he talks again about the Holy Spirit coming. He talks about his death and his resurrection so that they know what's coming. That brings us up to John chapter 17. In this intimate time with Jesus and the disciples, he is there using this as teachable moments. So Jesus, he spoke and he said these things and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And notice what he says, Father. Stop right there. The Jewish people back in the Old Testament, they would not call God by his name. His name is Yahweh. But a good Jewish person would never speak the name Yahweh. They would take out the vowels and make it YHWH, but they wouldn't even say that. They would take it a step further. They would call him Jehovah or Adonai. They did not even want to have the chance of possibly, maybe, misspeaking the name of God. They had such a fear and awe and a reverence for the name of God that they wouldn't even call him by his name. I think we've lost some of that. I think we've lost some of that in our 21st century Christian. Now, God is very approachable. God is love, God is mercy. Yes, all that. I believe that. I preach that. But I often wonder, have we missed some awe and reverence of God? And so he's looking at them and he's standing there because the disciples would never look to heaven. They would certainly never, ever, ever address God as Father. They would use, if you will, a substitute name because they wanted to keep his name pure and holy. Here comes Jesus in the upper room in one of these intimate times with the disciples around him. And he's teaching them how to pray. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked. He said, Father, this is Abba, translated dad. We would say daddy. Sometimes we would say papa. When I was 16, I was called into ministry. I worked at a Christian camp. It was very similar to Living Waters. Not Living Waters, but very similar. And they would bring in speakers week after week, a different speaker. And I can remember one of the speakers was there. Friends, I don't remember a single blessed thing the man ever preached. That brings me comfort for when you look at me and go, I don't remember that message. It's okay. I don't remember messages when people preach them to me. But I do remember how he prayed. The way that he prayed 25 years ago has not left me. because it was something completely unique. He would be on the platform preaching a wonderful, biblical, solid message, but he had to get from the platform to the back to do the that-a-boy line where he shook all your hands, hey, that-a-boy, good message. And how did he spend that time? He ended up praying and walking back. But how he prayed, it shook me. And I still remember 25 years later. He would start, hey, Papa, it's your son down here. I have some things on my mind that I'd like to talk to you about. He had such an intimacy with himself and God. And here comes Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. He addressed God as Father. And I think we would do well to remember the awe and respect of God, but I think we would also do too well to remember that we can have that intimate time with God, to either sit beside him or crawl up on his lap and say, Dad, I've got some things on my mind I need to tell you. That intimate, sweet time between a child and a father. So let's go back to scripture. Lifting up his eyes, he looked to heaven. Hey, Dad, Papa, Abba, the hour has come. Literally, the time that he is going to die, if you would stop here, look over to chapter 18, Judas is going to betray him. Peter's going to deny him. Then he goes before Pilate. Then chapter 19, he has the crown of thorns. And then he has the flogging. And we just say that, just kind of, oh yeah, he got flogged. The worst time of his life is coming. The hour is coming. The crucifixion is coming in chapter 19. And I would submit to you, the worst comes at the crucifixion when God the Father turns his back on God the Son. And Jesus cries out, Father, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus knows all this. Friends, he wrote the book. He wrote it. He was there when it was written. And he didn't try to change things. He didn't try to manipulate things. In the hours to come, he knew it was coming, and this is his prayer. Look at what he says. The hour has come, glorify your Son. Jesus' desire is not to change the circumstances. Jesus' desire is that he would be glorified. That God would be glorified in the way that Jesus was interacting and the actions that he was taking. God, bring yourself pleasure. Honor yourself by my actions so that the Son may glorify, honor, and bring you respect. The first question I have for you, are my decisions honoring and glorifying to God? How was the ride into church this morning? Was it glorifying to God? Or when you finally hit the pavement, you hit the perfect pavement and the magic macadam. You know what those are. You know what those are. You're arguing the whole way down Broadway. You get to church, glory be to Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. Thank you. And everything stops as soon as you hit the pavement. And then you're going to pick up that argument once you head back down Broadway. You'll pick it up right where you left it off. You get off the perfect pavement in the magic macadam. Friends, I just wonder, are the decisions that you're making glorifying God? The way you're interacting with one another, the way you interact with the world, the way you handle situations, are they bringing you the way you're acting, are they bringing God honor and glory? Look at verse 2. Jesus is praying and he says, even as you have given him authority. He's talking about himself in a third person. So he says, even as you gave him authority. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you see, Jesus is saying you've given him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you've given him, you may have eternal life, that you may give him eternal life, life that doesn't end. Look at verse 3. This is eternal life. Now, I can't go back and forth between sides. I'll go back to verse 2. Jesus introduces eternal life, something that he's been doing all through his earthly ministry, which is so important for us to read the Bible in context with 2020 vision. That's why we read with 2020 vision. When we have questions, the text usually answers the questions, that he may give eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? Look at verse 3. This is eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus tells us what we need to know. Make sure you read verses together, chunks of verses, 20 verses before, 20 verses after. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Hours before the crucifixion of Christ, Jesus is praying, looking up to heaven, saying, Dad, it's going to get really difficult down here. I pray that the disciples and the world may know eternal life, that they may know you. Now, you may know God, but do you know God? You know about God, but do you know God? I've been here a year. I need to confess something to you. Some of you are making me angry. You keep moving seats. Beloved, it's not fair. Stay in the same seat. Because I know who you are by where you sit. Now, I know your face. Some of you, I know your name. To put a face with a name and have it be correct, that's the struggle. So I'm going to confess something to you that I need you to hear and I need your help with. If I look at you and I say, it is so great to see you. How you doing today, friend? You know what that means? I have no earthly idea what your name is. Okay? And it's okay for you to look at me and say, hey, how you doing today, friend? I'll receive that. But I know your face. Stop moving around. Seriously. It causes me angst. And please, if I can just ask, stay in this service. Don't be going to second service. And if I can make one more ask, can you keep wearing the same clothes week in and week out? Because I know you, but I don't know you. I'm familiar with you. I know about you. Now, I can remember the conversations. I can't remember them all. I can remember the conversation. I can remember where you sit. And I know about you, but I don't know you by name. And I wonder, friends, if that's the same way you are with God. I know you, God. I know about you, but I don't know you. Jesus is praying here. Not about a head knowledge, but about an intimate knowledge. And you have those relationships with each other that you know people and you fake it till you make it because you've done it to me and I've done it to you and you've done it to each other. You know that. You understand it because you come and, hey, how's the weather? Beautiful weather we're having. How's the soccer game? How are the kids? All right, I'll see you later. Have a great day. You have those surface relationships. You know about them. Then you have those relationships you know someone intimately. Hey, how'd that test turn out? What's the results? How's that child that walked away? How are your parents doing with the Alzheimer's? Hey, whatever happened with that job interview? You see the difference between knowing about and then knowing? Jesus is saying here in verse 3, this is eternal life, that they would know you. Not just know about God, but that they would know God in an intimate way. James chapter 2, starting in verse 19, if you want to write that down, the demons know about God. James 2, the demons know about God and they believe and they actually shudder. They fear. And yet, friends, here we come, and Jesus is praying. This is eternal life, that they may know intimately know you, the one true God. There is a one true God. And Jesus' prayer hours before his crucifixion is that we would not know about God, but that we would know God. So my question to you is, do you know God? I mean, do you really know God? You might know about him, but do you know him? I know that guy. He sits on the right-hand side, four rows back, third service. I know him, but I don't know his name. Ah, she sits on the left side, five rows back, second service. She has a long blonde hair, but I don't know her name. Don't walk out of here knowing about God without knowing God. Jesus says in verse 4, I glorified you on earth. Jesus' mission was Luke 19:10. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus says, I glorified you on earth. I want to give you some homework. You remember the last time I checked your homework? Yeah, you're welcome, by the way. I want you to read this afternoon before you come back at 3:30 for our family picnic and read through these first couple verses. Highlight, underline, circle, square it off the number of times Jesus talked about glorifying, honoring, or even the word glory in the first five verses and then the rest of the chapter. Jesus' mission was to bring honor to God. He's praying, looking, remember we're back in verse 2, looking up and saying, God, Dad, it's going to get difficult down here. I pray that I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work. What was the work? The work was to present the gospel, the good news. He went on mission. He knew the end of the book, and yet he still came to accomplish the mission. He says, I've accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And yet the most difficult part is yet to come, chapters 18 through 21. The next question I have for you is, am I living according to God's plan and God's word? As we look at praying through the first five verses and we're praying for ourselves, are we living according to God's plan and living according to God's word? The commentator is right, whoever said it. We don't need to know more about the Bible. We need to practice what we already know. And am I living according to God's plan and God's word? Now, you might come to me and say, I don't know what God's plan is. I don't know if I should do this or do this for a career. But I do know that God's word is clear, friends, that we are to go and make disciples. We are to take the good news out of these four walls into the streets and the cities, locally and globally. And so the question that I bring to you that I've wrestled with myself is, am I living according to God's plan and God's word? I don't know what God's plan is. Have you spent time in his word? Have you spent time studying what God's word has to say? Now I look at verse 5 and Jesus is praying and he says this. Now Father, again, notice he's calling God Father, Papa, Daddy, Abba, eyes lifted to heaven. And disciples are listening to this. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself. Glorify me. My goal is to bring you honor. Glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Two more references I want you to write down. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. The reason Jesus knows what's going to happen is he was there when the Bible was written. He wrote it. He was with God before time began. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verses 5 through 8, tells us that Jesus was in heaven and he chose to come to earth because he had a mission. And so he looks at God praying. He says, glorify me together with yourself. God, don't make it about me. Make it about you. Be honored and pleased with how I am acting and receiving, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. These first five verses are very interesting to study. And I'm going to get to a point. And I don't know, friends, if it's just me. And I don't know if it's just me because I'm a man and I'm stubborn. I'm a maner and we tend to do things by ourselves. I don't know if it's because I'm a human and I'm just prideful. But I will drive around all day and burn a whole tank of gas before I'll stop and ask directions. And I'm so slow to ask for help. I don't say that to brag. I say that probably to my own detriment. But I would submit that some of you as well. If you look at first five verses of this prayer, it brings me to this question. Am I seeking God's help? Or am I trying to achieve things on my own? For whatever reason, we don't ask for help. And I mean no sarcasm, and I really want to lean into this. If Jesus, God's own perfect Son, is praying and asking for help, why don't I pray and ask for help? Why don't I step in and say, God, help. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Things are getting very difficult. Friends, if Jesus would pray for help, why can't we? Are you seeking God's help, or are you trying to achieve things on your own strength and merit? Hours before his crucifixion, he prays and he says, God, be honored in what I'm going to go through so that I can return to you and receive the glory. The only thing between Jesus and going back to heaven is the cross. And I don't say that lightly. It's a long, 36 hours? And he's praying and saying, God, Dad, help me. Four questions we're wrestling through and we're going to work through. Are your decisions honoring and glorifying to God? I'd like to flip that and put number two up first. Your decisions are not going to honor and glorify God if you don't know God. I mean, really know God. I'm not going to know your name until I actually meet your face. And so don't leave here, friends, without knowing God. I mean, really knowing God. Don't just kind of sort of know his face. Seek to know him in a real and intimate way. Once you do, then your decisions to honor and glorify God, they could come easier. You could live according to God's plan and God's word because you know God, and then you can seek God's help because you know God and you have this relationship with him. Don't leave here saying, I know about God. Leave here saying, I know God. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Love to pray for you. Again, hopefully by now you know my heart is not to call you forward, it's not to call you out, it's to pray for you. In the moment, as God stirs your heart, two groups of people I want to pray for. First group is that second question, do I know God? And whether you're in the building or you're online, you may know about God, but you don't know God. And I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here who would say, I know about God, but I don't know God? Would you pray for me? Would you pray that I can know God? Is there anybody here? As I look out, I would ask, I see that hand, thank you. Don't leave this moment without leaving here knowing God. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for you. Don't leave here knowing about God. Leave here knowing God. Second group I want to pray for, before I leave that first group, I would ask that those that raised their hand, we've got pastors in the back, would you come talk to us? We'd love to interact with you, try to answer your questions, and point you towards the cross so that you can know God. So make sure you see us afterwards. Second group I want to pray for is those that would say, you know, I'm not praying the way I should. Things got busy this summer or whatever, for whatever reason, I'm not praying the way I should. Would you pray for me that I can get back to the prayer life I either had or the prayer life that I want to have? Would you pray for me that God would work in my heart? And so I see that hand. Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6, 7, 8 hands. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. God, we want to know you. We just don't want to know about you. We want to know you. We want to know you in a real way, more than just a face that maybe knows this or that. Lord, we want to know you through your word. And for those that raise their hand, I pray that they may leave here knowing you, the maker of heaven and earth that sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. So thankful for that good news. And we're thankful that Jesus knew what was coming, and yet he didn't try to change things. He went and accomplished it. He went and died on the cross so that we could have life everlasting. Lord, for those that have raised their hand, it says, I'm not at the prayer life I want to, whether it's been busyness of summer, whether there's something else going on, I pray, Lord, that you might give us time to spend with you. Prayer is so important. It is the voice of faith directed to God. It's just not a wish thrown out there. So, Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Give us a desire to pray so that we can know you and know you better. It's in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus that is above every name. The name of Jesus that came to pay the debt so that we could call you Daddy. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.